Fall is just around the corner, and that not only ushers in cooler weather, but also the seasonal reemergence of the flu. In the 2018-2019 season, it's estimated more than 35 million people across the country came down with the flu, and roughly 34,000 people died because of the virus. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This year, however, will be different as the flu season coincides with ongoing COVID-19 issues. Our next guest joins us to talk about what to expect from the flu season this year and how people can best prepare. Tom Haupt is the Influenza Surveillance Coordinator for the State Department of Health Services. Tom, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thank you, Keely. I appreciate the invite to be back on the show again.
Well, let's talk about COVID-19. That's dominated the conversation, and rightly so. But looking back at early 2020, how bad was the flu expected to be?
The flu this past season, it was a very bizarre influenza season. Starting again in October, we had the influenza B virus circulating, which historically the influenza B viruses are at the tail end of the influenza season. Around the first of the year, it switched to the influenza AH1 virus, which again, like the influenza B virus, affects the younger people more than the older people. It was just a very, very bizarre season that we came up with. We had about 4,400 hospitalizations, but quite a few young people being hospitalized, including 87 women who were pregnant at the time, which is more than we've ever had in any season since we've been following.
So how do overall flu numbers compare to years past then?
It was worse than we had anticipated. Usually when we have these types of viruses, we have very relatively smaller numbers of hospitalizations, usually no more than 2,000. But as I said, we had 4,400. But our number of pregnant women and our ICU intensive care admissions and people on ventilators were as high as we have seen in a long time. Which is kind of a surprise based on the fact that usually these two viruses have been the more milder viruses that have affected the younger population and not so much the older population.
Talk about the use of the ICU for the flu, because we do, as communities, have this tendency to think that the flu is not that big of a deal.
Oh, this past year we had at least 630 people into the ICU, of which 180 had to have mechanical ventilations in order to breathe. That compares to the 2017-18 influenza season, which the CDC stated that that was probably the worst season in the past 40 years. But this season was very comparable to that too, which again came a bit as a surprise because you normally don't see these high in numbers with these particular types of viruses. But it just proves that influenza is indeed a very serious disease, a potentially life-threatening disease, but a vaccine-preventable disease.
What concerns you about this upcoming flu season?
Well, we really don't know what to expect this coming season, Keely. We're hoping that it's going to be a very mild season, that we don't have much flu. I take note that the people in the Southern Hemisphere are having an extremely low incidence of influenza this year, less than they have ever seen probably in the last 20 years. This past week, they had a percentage positive rate of 1%. And we have to remember, this is their winter down there. This is their flu season. We'd love to have that come and be the same thing in the Northern Hemisphere, but we also have to be concerned that the influenza season will take off. We don't want people to become complacent. We want them to get the vaccine. We want them to take the social distancing precautions as they're doing in the Southern Hemisphere. The concern is that it could spike and we could have co-infections. It could be something as if a person has co-infection could be even more serious complications to any age group.
And when you say co-infections, are you talking about having influenza and COVID-19?
That's right. It's not unthoughtful that people can actually have those two particular diseases at the same time. And as we know, both of them could be deadly, and it could be very serious consequences should they come down with both. One of the reasons that we were really trying to push the influenza vaccine and for people to not be complacent and to really keep up with the social distancing.
Tom Haupt is the Influenza Surveillance Coordinator for the State Department of Health Services. And we're talking about influenza this year, especially as we're dealing with the global COVID-19 pandemic. and we're taking your calls. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org, wondering if you've already gotten your flu shot. Maybe you have a plan for that. What questions do you have about how influenza spreads or what is going to happen in the fall and into the winter? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Tom, how much has COVID-19 affected the state's plans for dealing with influenza?
It's become part of our plan, too. It's obviously something we, a year ago, we couldn't have been prepared for. We do have preparedness plans in place. But this is the first pandemic that we had that has not been influenza. So it's kind of a learning experience. It's a work in progress. But it's something we have to put those two ideas together, the communications to the public about the importance of the vaccine. Again, knowing the signs and symptoms, even though you can't tell the difference between influenza and COVID, you want to be sure that if you are at high risk that you get tested should you come down with these symptoms, because influenza does have an antiviral that can help people get better very quickly. So we want people to be very much aware of it. There's a lot of work in communications, getting this message out to people in a way that people understand it and can accept it.
Let's talk more about those symptoms you just mentioned, because people who have COVID-19 might think they have influenza. People with influenza might think they have COVID-19. I mean, how are we going to try to figure out who has what as cases probably rise?
Yes, and based on the symptoms, it's almost impossible to do. Signs and symptoms of both COVID and influenza include abrupt onset of fever, which can get up to 102, 103 degrees or even more, cough, sore throat, fatigue, muscle aches. It's difficult to do that, and that's why if we can lower the incidence of influenza by getting people vaccinated, again, being real sure that providers test people to see if they have COVID-19 or influenza. Because, again, you want people to get on the proper medications as quickly as possible should they have influenza. But the symptoms, as you said, Keely, are just almost similar, are almost 100% the same.
At what point, when we are thinking, oh, my gosh, I might have COVID-19 right now, I should go get a test, should we also be thinking, but this could be influenza? Where does that kind of come into play?
Well, that's where we're calling to the providers, and we're going to be calling on them and encouraging them to think outside the box of COVID. Why COVID is always going to be the main emphasis, and we understand that. We want to be sure that they are thinking about these other viruses, and there's multiple viruses, including influenza, respiratory syncytial virus, which hits the young and the old, a virus called metapneumovirus. We really want them to continue on the testing and not just think that everything is COVID, because again, there are certain medications like antivirals that can help with the influenza virus. But we want them to think outside the box, with COVID always being the emphasis, but understanding there's other viruses that are going around. And a simple test, the same test that can be run for COVID, can actually, the same type of test with the nasal swab, could pick up these types of other viruses and give us a better diagnostic realm as to what's going on in the state.
What should we think about when we are considering getting a flu shot? Because there are people who might usually encounter them at work or, you know, on a college campus or just a walk-in clinic day. And those things aren't really happening right now.
That's very true. And it's something where there's other alternatives. There is a website, Flu Finder, where people can find flu vaccination clinics. Certainly calling your provider and finding out more information about the clinic that's going on. Hopefully they will continue them on in some way or another, again, practicing good social distancing with masking. But what you had mentioned, Keely, is a concern that there may not be as many manufacturers who bring in people to vaccinate. But the vaccine will be available. It's in good supply. It's safe. And we're encouraging people to, again, check out these different providers, check out Flu Finder, find out where the vaccine will be available and when it will become available, and get the vaccine as soon as it does become available.
We're talking to Tom Haupt right now. He's the influenza surveillance coordinator for the State Department of Health Services. And he's with us to talk about the upcoming flu season and how we can prepare for the flu this year. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about influenza ahead of this upcoming season? What do you want to know about the state's plan? How will you or your family prepare for the flu, especially given the fact that it's coming in the context of COVID-19? Call 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Right now, we're talking with Tom Haupt about the upcoming flu season. He's the influenza surveillance coordinator for the State Department of Health Services. And we're taking your calls, your questions at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about the upcoming flu season because of the COVID-19 pandemic? How seriously do you usually take the flu? What steps will you take to prepare for influenza this year? Call 800-642-1234. We've got Jimmy in Valley Junction who's ready to talk with us. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, I've got a question on recently there's been a questioning of whether they're attributing too many deaths to COVID because it wasn't actually COVID that killed them or because it was some secondary thing like pneumonia that the COVID caused. How do you guys measure influenza deaths? Does influenza just kill people, or is it the secondary issues like pneumonia or other health issues that normally cause people to pass away from it?
Jimmy, thanks for that question. Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Dan, thank you, Jimmy. That was a good question, and that has come up a lot, especially recently. And you're correct. With the COVID deaths, it's the actual cause of death, a consequence of death, or something that contributes to death, and that's how we count that. And we count the same way for influenza as well. This past year, we had 185 deaths, which we know there's been a lot more. A lot of this depends on how it's coded onto the vital records. But if the word influenza or any of the codes that are associated with influenza are on that death certificate, it's counted much like we do with COVID-19. So it's not just COVID-19 deaths or influenza deaths. It's the fact that they contributed to their deaths in one way or another. Complications, like you said, like pneumonia or other types of complications that might have come about. Sometimes these diseases lead to exacerbation of asthma, which causes death. But again, all of these, if it's in any way associated with it, that's how our deaths are counted in the state.
And we've seen people criticize that process because they say, well, if it's not COVID or it's not the flu that causes this, then it shouldn't be the cause of death. And what you're saying is if it is one of the reasons that this person died, if they had not had this sickness, otherwise they would have lived, then we count it.
That's correct. That's correct. And it's all to measure the burden of the disease with influenza and with COVID. And we do that with other diseases as well. But obviously, influenza is the key on this up until this coming year, this year that we're in right now. And COVID would be our main focus as well.
All right. Thanks for that. And thanks for the call again at 800-642-1234. We've got Sue from Richland Center now. Hi, Sue.
Good afternoon. I'm wondering if there is a certain month in which you should get your flu shot in Wisconsin, and how long does that shot last? Do you ever need a booster to get you through the spring?
Good question,
sure.
Sue.
Very good. Thank you, Sue. The recommendations from the CDC is to get the vaccine no later than October 31st or Halloween. Generally, we say if it becomes available, get the vaccine as soon as it does become available, because we never know when influenza season is going to start. You're always concerned that if we wait too long, that the season might be starting, and we got to remember that the vaccine takes 2 weeks to take effect. There is that possibility of waning, meaning that the vaccine may not have the efficacy at the end of the year, should it be a very long year. It's a best guess, but definitely no later than October 31st. But the vaccine is really going to start coming out in earnest probably in the next couple weeks. We would urge people, again, because COVID is still at high incidence, to try to get that vaccine as soon as possible.
And that should last you until about how long in the spring?
It should last you hopefully through March and April. And again, we know that there is a little bit of waning, but it will give you some protection throughout the influenza season.
All right. Thank you again for that call, Sue. We appreciate you giving us a call at 800-642-1234. And we've got Edie from West Salem on the line. Hi, Edie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Say, I'm curious in regards to getting, I usually get my flu vaccine early towards the end of September, but this year I'm scheduled to get my second dose of the shingles shot. So vaccine, is there any timeline that I should wait to get the flu? Is there, can you get them together at the same time, or do you have to do it a couple weeks apart from getting it with another vaccine?
It would depend on, go ahead, Edie. I apologize for interrupting your end of your question.
No, that's okay. I just mean in regards to getting other vaccines, you know, can you get it around the same time? Say, like, if you need to get your pneumonia shot, too, or something, can you do them all at the same time, or do you have to stagger them out?
Usually that would depend on your provider's recommendations. You can get them close together. Certainly if there's underlying diseases that people may have that may lower their immune systems, it might be a different circumstance. But I would check with your provider on that. But I certainly commend you for going after the pneumonia shot and the shingles shot as well. Also, two very important vaccines.
Edie, thanks for that call. As we are talking with Tom Haupt, who's the influenza surveillance coordinator for the State Department of Health Services. And we are looking ahead, not too far, though, to the seasonal flu issue that's cropping up during a COVID-19 pandemic. And we do have another caller, and it is Jean from Boscobel. Hi, Jean.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. So I just have a couple of things, like, with the flu shot, and I've always before have taken the flu shot, but it seems like when I do take the flu shot, that if I happen to get the flu, I get it worse when I take the flu shot. So I don't know. I'm sure that to me it doesn't make any sense at all. And then I've heard other people say I'm not getting a flu shot because I get sicker after I take the flu shot.
Yeah, Tom, that's something that we hear people say. They're concerned about reactions to the flu shot, so
sure,
they avoid it.
Yeah, well, a general reaction to the flu shot is soreness around the injection site, and some people get it worse than others. This past year, I got the flu shot, and I had absolutely no pain, but I know when my wife got it, she had a very sore arm for days. Slight fever is also very common, but a flu shot cannot cause flu. It's impossible to do that. If a person has been infected with flu and gets the flu shot, and we don't have the full, and again, as I mentioned, flu shots take 2 weeks to take effect, you could get the flu after having been vaccinated. But it's not a result of the flu shot. Now, there's always that concern, too, that there's maybe something that people are allergic to in a flu shot. Some of them have different types of preservatives. That's something that if you did have a reaction to it, your provider should know about for the upcoming seasons after this, to make sure that you have a different type of flu shot. But again, you can't get the flu from the flu shot. Other diseases, as I mentioned, there's just a lot of other respiratory diseases going around at the same time, including RSV, which is very predominant at this time of year, in conjunction with influenza.
All right. Thanks for answering that question and clearing that up for us, Tom. We've got Tekla in Beaver Dam who has a question, too. Hi, Tekla.
Hello, and hi, Tom. I'm a blast from your past from DHFS back when it was DHFS.
Mm-hmm. I remember you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yes. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, and I love hearing you on the radio. You're such a wonderful expert to hear from. And my question is, will the flu season possibly be lighter than in the past because of all the health precautions that we are taking because of COVID? And do you think that since we have some people have become accustomed to wearing masks in public, that these kind of health precautions may go on into the future?
Well, in regards to your first question, could it be a milder season? The answer is yes. We are seeing a very mild season in the Southern Hemisphere. As I mentioned about a week ago, their positivity rate for flu cases was less than 1%. And during the middle of a flu season, you're usually talking 25, 30, 40% positivity rate. So So yes, it could be, but I don't want people to look at the southern hemisphere and just automatically think that it's going to be very mild in the northern hemisphere. They are taking the same precautions. They still have the social distancing, schools closed. Their vaccination rates have been good this past year. So again, it's something I also see that people are learning more about the social distancing. And I think a lot of people are much more comfortable in crowded settings wearing a mask. And I think that's going to go on for a while. I'm planning if, you know, going to the store, doing whatever I need to do, and the mask is going to be in my pocket. So I hope eventually someday maybe we can get back to normal, but I think these are all lessons learned that we have about how important when you have illness to stay away from people and to give yourself time to heal at home and just how important that is. And you bring up a really good point, Tekla. Thank you.
Well, we talked about people changing what they do. Healthcare providers have also done that. They've been focusing really on treating COVID-19. What should our healthcare providers keep in mind for the flu season?
We have to continue to test for other respiratory viruses. There are many places that have what's called a respiratory panel, which has 19 different viruses on it and can detect up to 19 different viruses. We need to know what's going on in the community, and we really want people to be aware that not only COVID might be circulating, flu, but who knows, one of the other viruses. So we're really encouraging providers to, as much as they may emphasize COVID, to really think about other viruses, do the tests for it. And again, I mentioned earlier, influenza does have an antiviral that can lower the amount of time you're shedding and the time that you're sick. It's very important that they work to try to identify exactly what the cause of the illness is, what particular virus.
All right, Tom, we have quite the season ahead of us. Thank you so much for briefing us.
Thank you much. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show and get our word out.
Tom Haupt is the influenza surveillance coordinator for the State Department of Health Services, and he joined us today to talk about how people across the state can prepare for the upcoming flu season, especially because it is happening amid a pandemic and COVID-19 has such similar symptoms to influenza.